This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in with an update of the commodity markets from the CME Group, where corn futures are trading mixed on the day and wheat futures are higher. The nearby September contract, by the way, there at $6.61¾, up 6.5 cents. September corn, two higher at $4.97¼. And December futures at $4.77¼ are unchanged at this hour. Soybeans in the August contract at $13.63¼, up 13.5 cents. And the November at $12.08¾, up 5¾. Bean meal trading at $4.28.60 is 60 cents lower. Bean oil down 14, rather up 14, at $42.25. And the live cattle futures at $121.50 in the August are down 15. Feeders at $153.40, up 15. And lean hogs in the August contract at $97.60 are 72 and a half cents higher. The outside markets show crude oil now at $103.21 a barrel, up 13 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.98¼, 3¼ of a cent lower. Ethanol at $2.29¼ is up 6 1/10 of a penny, and the gold futures on the day at $13.24.30. That's actually a settlement price from yesterday, down $4.50. Diesel fuel at $2.99¾, just about 8 tenths of a cent lower. Let's take a look at the marketplace. Joining us this morning for the midday update is from Stuart Peterson. I'm sorry, I always had to think about that for a moment. From Stuart Peterson, here's Jackie Vakes. Good morning to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Good morning, Todd. I'm good.
I guess I'm not doing as well as I thought I was. Just the mind stopped for a moment. So tell me about the marketplace, and then you might take a look forward to next week's reports from USDA. WASDE is due out, and of course the August crop production numbers too.
Well, you know, when you look at the marketplace today, we just in the last few moments we've actually seen geese take off and go ahead of September, which is rather surprising. I think some of it's coming out of the fact that you know, we're looking at drier weather for up in the Minnesota and the Iowa areas, and you know, those are areas, of course, that are behind and going to be heading into, they'll probably have the latest pollination, I would expect. I'm, you know, from talking to people, we'll probably see the last corn pollinate around the 10th of August, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I think that it's the end of the month. We're seeing some short covering going on, and it really doesn't surprise me. The corn market and the wheat market both have what I call a bowl bottom in them. So it looks like it's trying to actually turn itself around, but tomorrow will be a new day and a new month. So we'll have to see once what goes there. You know, when you talk about the report on the 12th, I think that the big thing on that report day will, of course, be the re-acreage survey for the beans. And that's going to set the tone for the marketplace itself. You know, beans are really tight. I don't know, you know, if you look at the market the last week or so, you'd think we grew a whole bunch of beans in old crop lately, the way that it was reacting. But I think some of the reaction on that side hasn't been so much the bean crop here in the U.S., more the implications that we're going to see a much bigger bean crop coming out of South America next year. The ratios for corn and beans for them definitely favor beans. So this next week will be nothing but positioning. Getting ready for that report and trying to figure out which way to go, and weather's going to be the key, like it is all the time at this time of year.
Yeah, so you talked about a bull bottom in both of those markets, corn and soybeans. Fundamentally, is there a good reason for that? Is it that, for instance, the market's looking forward and has not yet done it, but may very well build a premium in, based on the lateness of the crop? You suggested weather, naturally, as one of the drivers.
Well, I think that you hit it right on the head, Todd. That is definitely one of the drivers. I believe that some of the excitement, we know we're going to have a corn crop. There's no question about it. We know that even if it's smaller than what's projected right now, we still have a tremendously large carryout. But the big thing now is you know, how cool it's been. It's interesting because in the last week now, we've seen guys, especially when you go into the Lincoln, Monticello areas and stuff, who planted corn early and figure they're going to take advantage of the premiums that are going to be there, and now are saying, you know, I'm not committing any corn because I'm not sure, as slow as things are going right now, that I would have corn to be able to deliver and meet the contracts. And so I think the trade is recognizing that also. And you know, we always talk about how trade is up there in Chicago, you know, and if it does it in Chicago, that's the only place that counts. Well, up until midnight on Monday night, the 7-day period prior to that was the coldest period Chicago had seen in 142 years for that time. And so I guess when they have to put their coats back on, they start to think maybe corn is doing the same thing. I don't know, but it's going to be interesting, and I believe that that's why it's happening right now.
I suppose here we are on the 31st day of July. It's 10 a.m. Central Time, and we're at 69 degrees outside the studios here. By the way, a quarter of an inch for the storm total in our area, the rainfall yesterday, just enough to wet the ground and keep things percolating along. But those temperatures, or the high temperatures, are really low, and I guess it's slowing things down a whole lot.
It is. Well, you know, anytime you get corn below 50 or temperatures below 50 degrees, corn actually just stops what it's doing. It goes into a holding stage because that is not a temperature that helps it mature at all. And so when you look across the belt, Todd, you know, we look out into the west. Okay, the west is getting some beneficial rains, but they are still extremely dry, and they're still limited on how much moisture they can actually put on via irrigation. And so there's big questions out there. You look to the east, you look to Indiana and Ohio probably only need a couple more good rains, and they could even put in record crops, perhaps, but they've slowed down a lot, too. And then you come here to, you know, where we are and the general Midwest, and Iowa continues to have severe problems. And if we do start to dry out in Iowa, is that going to help anything? You know, at this stage of the game, probably not. And so I think that one of the things that's in the back of my mind when it comes to corn, too, is how much aflatoxin corn still is around here in the Midwest. And, you know, it's going to take some good corn to be able to blend that off. And I'm wondering if we're going to see the same type of thing we did the other year when we had it, where we actually have corn come back up to Mississippi so that we can start to get rid of some of the aflatoxin corns that's out there. And so that might be why we'll see a little bit of a bounce here in the market, too.
All right. So even if we have corn left in that neighborhood of, what, 750 or 60 million bushels, it might not be in very good shape and would need to be blended off.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, so you know, that's something that hasn't been talked about very much lately, but it's certainly real, especially when you look into, you know, the Illinois area, even Indiana, even in Iowa. So I think that's in the background. The other thing that is interesting in the corn market is the fact that the traditional farm held a record short position and lifted 6,000 yesterday. But, you know, you could really see a strong short rallying, or short covering rally come through in this marketplace. The key to me will be, what is the acreage situation when it comes to beans on August the 12th, and what are the implications of the, you know, the late wheat? Will we see that we didn't get nearly as many double crop beans as we thought? And it was kind of wild because USDA had us at 10% double crop this year versus normally 6-7%. So, you know, that'll be the key. And if that comes and that puts a nearby floor in on beans, we could still see corn weaken some, but it'll be harder for it to go down a lot more. So, you know, my range guess is, I can tell you technically, I see 411.5 from a technical standpoint possible. But I think reality is, depending upon that report on the 12th of August, it's either going to be, you know, 420 to 430, or it's going to be probably, you know, 470 to 480 for a while before we know more about what's going on in the crop.
We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
Yep, you bet.
All right, thanks, Jackie. Jackie Vex is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us here on the Midday Market Report from WILL. This is WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Coming up on the top of the hour, it'll be 10 o'clock Central Time. The numbers trading in Chicago show September corn a 3.25 higher at 498.5. Now December at 480, up 2.5, and the March at 492.5, up 2.25. Next year's December at $5.08, a penny and a quarter higher. August beans at 1365.5 are up 15.5, and the September's at 2.75 higher at 1251.75. November at 1208.75, up 5.75. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.